chapter 2. What time? Play practice at 4:30 this evening. Ain't no use me even going home. I'll get you a hamburger and come back and lay down on one of these seats. What's that, the teenagers? She didn't say which one. Play practice at 4:30. Tell her we had it this morning. She wasn't here. Amen. I give people a hard time, but really, honestly, if a lady's scared to get out, really, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. What I blame is people can go everywhere else and have four-wheel drives. Laundromat's packed out. That's what I... And all that is people listening to spirits. Listening to spirits. Amen. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 this morning. All right, we're going to look at a little scripture here this morning. And I'm ringing just a little bit, brother. Matthew chapter number 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor which shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they had saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary. There's where people get he's about 2 years old at this time. It wasn't in a manger. It was in a house. And he wasn't a babe. He was a young child. So there's a time period went on, the time the wise men finally got there to see him. But that's debatable. Another way you get that is Herod was wanting to kill all them babies 2 years old and younger. If he had just been born, Herod had just heard that, he probably wouldn't have said 2 years and I'd just give you something about it. They saw a young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, there's about five different messages that I preach from time to time out of that scripture. But the last part of verse 12 is what I'd like to give you this morning. Bible, them wise men came all that way, worshiped the Lord. They saw the Lord, giving gifts. They worshiped him. And verse 12 said, they departed to their own country another way. Another way. They did not leave the same way as they came. Isn't that a great thought? Isn't that a great thought? I got news for you this morning. Nobody else does either. You never encounter Jesus Christ and leave the same way you came. What a blessing. Now, I know in the context what that means. What that means is they come up one road and went back down another road. But I don't use that in a spiritual sense this morning and talk about that. They came one way and went back another way. Every person who's ever come to Jesus Christ went back different than the way they come. I've heard people say, well, old so-and-so went to altar and it didn't do nothing for him. He might have went to the altar and it didn't change him. But if he had went to Jesus, it would have. You can come to the altar and not go to Jesus. You can go to church and not go to Jesus. If you ever encounter an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be different. I want to preach this morning on the subject, you're never the same after meeting Jesus. Amen. Amen. Some are worse, some is better, but nobody's the same. Some are mad, some are glad, but nobody is ever the same. You cannot run into Jesus Christ and remain the same. You'll get meaner or you'll get better, but you'll not be the same. You go back another way. Sometimes people go to the altar and they're the same. Sometimes they're baptized and they're the same. Sometimes they join the church. They're the same. Makes no difference. Sometimes, they reform and they're the same. But nobody ever comes to Him and remains the same. Amen. I'll never forget the night I got saved. I've never been the same person since that night. And you haven't either if you really got saved. You say, well, Brother Danny, I failed the Lord. So have I. But I've never been the same. I've never been the same. I've never looked at things the same. I've never felt about things the same. I've never believed. I've never had in me or out of me what got put in me that night. I have never been the same since I met the Lord. I want to give you a few things about it this morning and we'll go. Amen. I want to say, first of all, the disciples were never the same. The disciples, they are never the same. Bible said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, that these guys were commercial fishermen. All they knew was water and fish stories and fish tales. They was down there every day, probably just old rough guys with old rigid hands and old faces that looked like leather, being down around that water, that sea. Commercial fishermen. They did it for a living. Pulling up them nets, made their hands rough, and these old boys down there. And one day, somebody comes walking down the side of the seashore. Notice the Lord didn't go to the seminary and pick out His disciples. He went down there to them boys catching fish. That's who He after today. You want to know who the Lord picks out? People that's out catching fish, soul winning, fishers of men. That's who He's blessing. That's who He's with. And so the Lord come down there and He just walked by and said, follow Me. And you know what they done? They dropped their nets. They dropped their career. They dropped everything they had and left it and followed the Lord. You can't tell me that meeting Jesus Christ does not do something in the human heart that nothing else could do. What if a man just walked by one day and these little fishermen said, hey, follow me. Some of you in here, you left career, you left job, you left... I remember the change in my life when I met the Lord. I'm telling you, all I've done was play basketball before I got saved. That's all I've done. When I got saved, I got on fire for God. The Lord said, come and follow me. I wouldn't even touch a basketball. This, about 7 years went by, I wouldn't even touch one. I'd go to places and preach where they had gyms, and if a ball bounced toward me, I turned it like that. You know what I've done? I associated that with my old life. It's not a sin at all. I didn't think it was a sin then. I just wanted the Lord to know that I had left my old life behind and was following Him. Amen? And so did you. Some of you left pastimes that wasn't even a sin, and you left it behind. I'm telling you, the disciples were never the same. It really made an impact on them. Think of how many men they had met and forgot the next day. But I tell you what, brother, when they met this man, they had eternal life. They could walk on water. They seen miracles. St. Nicodemus. The woman at the well. All these people were never the same after meeting Jesus Christ. I tell you what, I've not got a whole lot of confidence in Hollywood profession of faith where they remain the same, stay in Hollywood, stay in all that. I'm a judge. I can't say they're not saved. I'll know one thing. Everybody I've ever known that met the Lord and touched Him, it made a difference in their life. I remember fussing at young people and all the young people we had at camp all them years. Took them up north, took them to Bryson City, took them everywhere. And I remember preaching to them and I'd say, rock music's bad, this is wrong, don't do that. And they'd just say, yeah, as soon as I get out of your sight, I'm going to do whatever I want to. But brother, I'm telling you what, when Jesus come by and they met the Lord, I'm telling you, immediately, there was a change took place in their life. The old song said, there's been a change in me. A change in me. I'm not the one. I like to hear old Danny Chapel sing that song. There's been a change in me. I'm telling you, the disciples were never the same. I want to tell you something else this morning. The doctors were never the same. The doctors were never the same. Jesus met the doctors when He was 12 years of age. You remember when they went downtown? They got to looking for the Lord and couldn't find Him. He was 12 years old. I heard somebody say the other day that he didn't know who he was when he was little. Oh yeah, he did. He knew. He's God when he was little. He's God when he's a baby. The quote, Christ didn't come on him when he's baptized at 30. All that was, nothing happened to him when he's baptized when he's 30. I'm telling you, brother, all God did was just show His approval on him. He was just as much God before he's baptized as he was after he's baptized. When he opened up his eyes in the manger, he was God. And he was 12 years old. And he had these doctors, the most learned men of the day. Imagine it. You know how them guys are over there? Them Jews had them beards, had them garb on, had them priestly robes on. Here sits a 12-year-old boy asking them questions. And they're asking him stuff. And you know, I've heard the preacher say, I don't know when, but I like it. I preach on it every chance I get. I imagine the doctor said, and they said, we know there's something different about you, young man. There's something different. What rumors have been swirling around you ever since you was born. And one of them said, well, let me ask you this. He said, how old are you? And Jesus looked back, and you know, it might not have went like this, but I like it. And Jesus looked back and he said, well, he said, on my mother's side, he said, I'm 12 years old. They said, really? He said, but on my father's side, I'm everlasting to everlasting. And they said, oh my goodness, what do you mean, my Lord? I mean, I never man spake like this man. He's 12, 20, 20, 20, I mean, I'm 12 years old. And what are you trying to say? They said, well, where are you from? He said, you're from? He said, well, on my mother's side, he said, I'm from Bethlehem of Judea. He said, but on my father's side, I'm from glory up in the third heaven. Up yonder. And they said, my Lord, who in the world is this man? And they said, well, son, he said, what is your name? He said, who are you anyway? He said, on my mother's side, my name is Jesus. But on my father's side, my name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Amen? And boy, them doctors just left there scratching their heads saying, man, we're going to have to call in the psychiatrist. Nobody can figure out that young'un. 12 years old, and the doctors were never the same. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what they said one time. They asked him, they said, how old are you? And he said, 12. They said, well, how do you know so much about Abraham? He said, before. My father, I saw Abraham's day and I was glad. And they said, what? He said, before Abraham was, I am. I said, what? Are you trying to tell us you was before Abraham was? He said, I didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He said, I said, before Abraham was, I am. And they flipped out. They knew what I am mean. Them were learned doctors of the Jewish law, and they knew that the word I am only applies to the eternal God Jehovah. And here is a young man claiming that before Abraham was, he is. Eternally. Never had a beginning. Never had an ending. You cannot meet him and remain the same. Boy, I wish it was full this morning. Amen. I'm having just as good a time if it's just me and you and the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, the doctors were never the same. Let me tell you something else right quick. The diseased were never the same. Them diseased people were never the same. There was a man at the pool of Bethesda had laid there 38 years. When I first started preaching, I thought, Lord, that poor old fella laid there 38 years. I'd be even be 38. Now I look back on 38 and wish I was 38. But I remember preaching that story and saying, 38, that is old. Now 38 seems young. I remember saying, that old boy laid there 38 years. Of course, it didn't say he's 38, but laid there 38 years. Might have been 100. He was laying there for 38 years, and boy, he laid there, and he laid there, and laid there. And the Bible said every once in a while, this angel would go down in the water, trouble it like that. And when it did, whichever one of them people there, pool of Bethesda, like that old black preacher used to say, he said there's a bunch of impotent folk laying around there. There were some impotent folk. It's impotent. Means they ain't able to do anything. And they was laying upside that pool. And boy, the angel come down and trouble that water. And whichever one of them were stuck his toe in it, got healed. Well, this fellow's so bad off he couldn't get in by himself. He didn't have nobody, no relatives or nothing to help him. So he just laying there waiting. And one day the Lord walked by, and you never meet him and remain the same. And buddy, I'll tell you what, the Lord looked by and said, what you need, friend? He said, I ain't got nobody that can help me. He said, I can't get in. Every time there's a revival, it's over by the time I get in there. No, I can't make it by myself. He said, I don't have no relatives. I'm helpless. And the Lord just reached over, fixed him up just like that. He's the great physician. The diseased were never the same. the blind man. This fellow's born with a hand with him. He wasn't like on these modern day healers, you know, come up there and say, well, I was born with one arm shorter than the other. And they say, all right, everybody put the spotlight there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Be healed. Oh, it's a miracle. No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. But this fellow's all withered up like that. And the Lord said, stick that thing out here and go like that. And it gets healed just as pure and right as the other one. The disease will never end. Can you imagine that man going back to work and getting him a job, saying he'd work with both hands? They said, what happened to you? Did you get some physical therapy somewhere? He said, no, I met Jesus, and nobody's ever the same after they meet Him. Amen. The blind man. Can you imagine over in John 9 and blind Bartimaeus saying, have mercy on me, and just wanting a little bit of money, and Jesus walked by and touched his eyes, and boy, I'll tell you what, bam, he could see. There's another fellow there, the Lord touched twice. Touched him once, and he could see. Kinda, and then he touched him again. I don't know what the meaning of that is. I've heard preachers preach it different ways, but I know one thing, brother. However how you look at it, that old boy got it, and he got his sight back, and he was never the same. Okay, something else. The devils were never the same. The devils were never the same. Fellow young was demon possessed. Had the 2,000 demons in him. Now demons must be awful little, or they can interlap with each other for 2,000 of them being one person. And demons are cured by flies. Flies, like, you know that, you know, like the Lord, what's that movie they made? That movie called Lord of Filth and Beelzebub or something like that. A few years ago they made that movie. And that movie was, what was that? Somebody know? Yeah, I don't know if it's Lord of the Flies. Is there a movie called Lord? Well, anyway, flies. Beelzebub was a picture of the devil, and flies are a picture of demons. Because a fly pictures them. Don't you know a fly can do just like a demon? I mean, they look like one. And they're a little old thing, and boy, them things come in, and this man had 2,000 of them things in him. 2,000 demons. That girl down there at Jack Hudson cast that demon out of down there in Charlotte 20 years ago. They said, Lord, that girl had demons in her. And some of them named herself, and that'd be awful. This fellow had 2,000 in him. He was probably about like Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson's probably got close to that many. And Howard Stern and Hugh Hefner and people like that. There is no telling how many demons is in Michael Jackson. There is no telling. There's no telling how many demons are in Marilyn Manson. They're full of them. That's why you can just, when they talk, people just are amazed. And, well, there's 2,000 demons in this guy. And the Lord came up to him, and the disciples tried to cast them out, and they couldn't cast them out. And they said, get it, man! And they couldn't do it. And the Lord Jesus Christ came up there that day, and the Lord looked up at him, and he said, you got to talk. And you notice the demons talking. It wasn't the man. The demons talking, they said, Lord, have mercy on us. Don't make us go to hell. Don't make us go to hell yet. They knew who he was. They laughed at them preachers, but they didn't laugh at him. They laughed. Listen, there's some things the devil would laugh at me and you over, but when the Lord shows up, he can sure take care of that outfit. Thank God. People say, ain't you scared of them demons? Well, I'm scared to be around them, but I'd be more scared of God because he's more powerful than they are. So ain't you scared of a demon? Yeah, but I'd be more scared of Jesus. He has all power. They have limited power. Demon can't do nothing unless the Lord allows it. No, the Lord looked at them and he said, what's your problem? They said, don't make us move. We like living in this old guy. He does everything we want him to. And the Lord said, stop. And when he did, them demons went out of that. Listen, the devils were never the same. They're never the same. From up until then, they just lived wherever, whoever, done whatever they wanted to. But that day, they had to move out. They had to pack their clothes. They had to go and say, honey, we got to leave. What do you mean we got to leave? This guy likes us. He's possessed. He liked Howard Stern. And they said, sorry, we got to leave. We got a commandment from somebody that's greater than any preacher, that's greater than any government. And he told us we got to go, and we got to go. Hallelujah. I'm saying this morning, the devils were never the same. The diseased were never the same. The doctors were never the same. The disciples were never the same. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ever meet him, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. You might mess up. You might fall in a ditch. You might wind up in a mud hole, but you still ain't the same. I know Christian people this morning that's backslid and just trying to live for the devil and everything. but they still ain't like they was before they got saved. Most miserable person in the world is somebody really saved, trying to live in sin. The devil were never the same. Amen? They were subject unto him. I will say lastly this morning, the dead were never the same. Do you know in the Bible you came from one place where Jesus ever preached a funeral? Praise God, I'm glad I found that out. I won't never have to do another one. No, we have to. We have to. But you can't find nowhere in the Bible where Jesus preached anybody's funeral. As a matter of fact, every funeral he went to, they had to repossess the coffin. Took it back down to the funeral home and wanted the money back. Boy, I imagine it. Over yonder, when the widow of Nain, you know, she her little boy died, and I always preached it like this on their way to the funeral, on the way to bury him. All them camels lined up in a row, had their headlights on, and they had a little box off called a bier, B-I-E-R, coffin. In the Bible, maybe about as big as this table here. That young man was in there. That little widow had watched that boy grow up. She had nursed him when he was a baby. He grew up right under her, played ball. So, oh Lord, her heart was broke. Her heart was broken. I'm telling you, it was awful. And boy, all of a sudden, here come the Lord. I remember my subject this morning is you're never the same after meeting Jesus. Here he come across the way. And the Lord come walking across there that day. And he went like this, went... And he touched that thing, and when he did, the lid flew open on that thing, and that little boy stood up and said, "Mama, I'm starving." And she went, "Whoa! Hallelujah! Praise God!" And boy, I mean, can you imagine back down there at the funeral home? Here comes that old director coming like him. He said, "Myrtle, that's the lady at the desk, from now on, make sure they're dead. That's three times this month." And boy, there's something weird going on in this town. Every time that preacher shows up, we have to give them their money back. I'm telling you, brother, the dead were never the same. You can't stay dead around him. That's why our bodies are going to get up at the rapture. Hallelujah. You can't even stay dead when he's in town. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Nobody ever died in his presence. Nobody ever died when he was around. There's nowhere in the Bible where it said anybody ever died when he's around. And the ones that he did get around popped back up. They said when Lazarus was risen from the dead, he is in the tomb, been 4 days, stunketh. That's right. And brother, it was awful. There he was in the tomb, and the Lord come, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." You know, they said if he had just went out there and said, "Come forth," everybody in that graveyard had got up. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." Rest of them, you got to stand. Amen. You can't stay dead around him, buddy. You can't stay dead. The dead were never the same. And I want to tell you something, brother. One day I was dead in trespasses and sin. And I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got saved. And I'm telling you, you folks know. I'm telling you, I'm not much of a Christian. Don't claim I'm the best Christian in the world. I do claim two things. I do claim to know I'm saved. I do claim to know I'm called to preach. I do claim to believe every word in that book. And I'm trying to live for God. That's all I claim. You can find all the rest of fault with me, you want to. And I can find just as much with you. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. I have never been the same since I met him. Since I met him. Joe Miller was a thief in prison at 16 years old. They put you in prison 16 back in. When he's 20 years old, he got saved. He started devouring the Bible and read it. Gave away $135,000. Back then, that'd be like 10 million now, probably. Prayed and raised them hundreds of kids in them orphanages and never took up an offering. And gave money away and read his Bible through 200 times, 100 on his knees. And people said, "Man, that guy was in prison. He was a thief. He was a rock." And now he give away $135,000. George Miller is one of the greatest Christians that's ever lived. You ought to read the story of his life. Y'all ought to get you some Christian biographies. Read them. George Miller, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, like I call it. I'm telling you, people, y'all just don't know what Christian ancestors we've got until you find out a little bit about church history. And you know something? That old boy, they said they'd be sitting around and all those kids would be out there sitting there wanting something to eat and there wouldn't be no food in the house. And they're sitting there with their plates and coming to the table. And he'd stand up and say, "Father, we thank you for this food we're about to eat." That's right. They said he did it He did it. And a doctor, somebody knock on the door and say, I left 2 hours ago. Felt a strange urge to bring this flour, to bring this bread to you. Amen? That's our God. George Miller was a thief in jail, in prison. But thank God he wound up giving away more than you, me and you ever have. And he wound up doing something for God. You're never the same when you meet Jesus. You know, isn't it a blessing to know this morning that nobody ever encountered the Lord Jesus Christ and stayed the same? The Bible said the wise men, when they come and worshiped him, went back to their country another way. Why do you think the Holy Spirit put that in there? That'd be a weird thing. Why didn't he say they left? What difference does it make to God which way they went? Holy Ghost put that in there. They come one way and left another way. And so has every other person in history. You cannot come to him and leave different. You're never the same after meeting him.